A lot of countries await the IMF chief's legal fate.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The head of the International Monetary Fund awaits arraignment this morning in New York on sexual assault charges. Dominique Strauss-Kahn was arrested over the weekend. He was expected at a meeting today among Eurozone countries to finalize plans for Portugal's bailout and to determine whether Greece might need another one, too. Reporter Christopher Worth is following the story from London, and he's with us right now. Good morning, Chris.
Hi.
So what impact could Strauss-Kahn's absence have?
Well, the impact could be pretty significant here. I mean, Dominique Strauss-Kahn has led the IMF in such a way that supported European leaders in preventing default of sovereign debt and bank debt in Greece, Ireland, and Portugal. It's important to remember that these bailouts are actually loans that these countries have to pay back. That prevents banks in places like Germany that bought Greek debts from taking losses on those investments. But there may be some division within the IMF over whether these bailouts are working. It's being said his staff at the IMF are actually in favor of allowing these countries to restructure or default on the money they owe. With Strauss-Kahn absent, there's a question over whether the IMF could begin to lean in that direction.
Now, obviously, Chris, these are just charges, but what happens if Strauss-Kahn is forced to leave his position at the IMF?
Then we could see some big changes in the way the IMF and even the World Bank work. When these institutions were set up after the Second World War, it was something of a gentleman's agreement that the World Bank would always be led by an American and the IMF by a European. But Martin Wolf of the Financial Times says with emerging economies like China and Brazil now as big creditors to the IMF, that could change.
There's a lot of pressure to have a non-European head, and a non-European head may be very much less friendly towards these deals, and that could create quite a massive conflict among the membership.
And Steve, you know, last month, a group of countries, including China and Brazil, called on the head of the IMF to be chosen by merit instead of nationality.
All right. Christopher Worth in London. Chris, thanks.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
The World Health Organization is expected to announce a new global treaty today that'll end a four-year standoff between underdeveloped countries where pandemics happen and Western countries that use Western companies, I should say, that use tissue samples from those victims to make vaccines. From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Gregory Warner explains.
When avian bird flu hit Indonesia in 2004, the first thing the country did was share tissue samples of dead birds and people with the world's scientists in a race to find a vaccine. But then Indonesia stopped sharing.
What they realized is, when the vaccines are developed, where are they going to be sold? Well, it turns out it will likely be United States, Europe, Japan, all the major markets, and how much of it will actually come back to Indonesia if there's a pandemic.
Not much at all, says Richard Gold, an intellectual property lawyer at McGill Law School. But under the WHO treaty to be announced this week, developing countries will share virus samples and the pharmaceutical industry will give them affordable vaccines.
What the worry would be is, would the cost be too high to industry? You don't even know if you're going to get a vaccine in the end. But you have this upfront obligation that might deter you from investment downstream.
One thing this treaty does not address, there aren't enough factories to supply vaccines to everybody. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets around the world are lower right now. American chemical giant DuPont has won its takeover battle for the Danish food company Danisco. Shareholders accepted DuPont's $6.4 billion offer. Wall Street Friday, the Dow lost 100 points to close at 12,595.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, for nearly 90 years committed to innovation in diabetes care. Learn more at novonordisk-us.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
The U.S. Treasury Department says today is the day the federal government will hit its $14.3 trillion debt limit, even though Treasury is buying some time to delay a full-on default. There's still no deal among haggling lawmakers to raise the debt ceiling. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says the Washington games are, of course, nothing new. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
Why is it such a concern that we're having this debt ceiling debate?
Well, to those of us who are into financial markets, it's like watching little children running around in a dynamite factory Ooh. With incendiary devices, having no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, that would be a problem. Would it have any, I don't know, any trickle down to us regular folks if we ended up not pushing up the debt ceiling?
I don't think it's going to happen, but I suspect it would get really ugly. There would be real problems. The United States could run out of money, could not make payments to people in the United States it owes money to, like Social Security. I could draw you scenarios of the end of the world and meltdown that might or might not be realistic. It's just concerning to see this happen when, in the end, no matter what happens, if the government runs deficits, you got to pay for it somehow.
Well, Alan, this whole debate, though, is not new. I mean, the kids have been playing around in the dynamite factory for a long time, right?
Right. The debate is not new. I think they're pushing it farther than they did the last time. A couple of years ago, when George Bush was president, people like then-Senator Obama said, this is terrible. We can't increase the debt limit. And the Democrats at that point were the party of fiscal restraint. And the Republicans were saying, be grown up and raise the debt limit. And now that the Democrats are sort of in power, the Republicans are pretending to care about the government's financial situation. It does get old, but an endless source of copy for people in the news business.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us from New York. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, a German man won the title of the world's best beard at the World Beard and Mustache Competition that took place in Norway yesterday. Hairdresser Elmar Wieser beat out 160 other hopefuls from 15 countries. Wieser's beard was shaped like a moose and Norwegian flag. He won the competition 6 years ago, by the way, with his facial hair resembling Berlin's Brandenburg Gate. I guess you can do that with your hair. You can see pictures of Wieser's beard at Marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Oil has brought fortunes to Nigeria. Pollution, though, and violence, too. So, worth it?
But when you look at what oil money could have done to the country, could have changed, that's where you feel almost as if what has been achieved is nothing.
I'm Kai Rizdal, where oil and prosperity don't necessarily go hand in hand. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.